Hello and welcome to chapter 25 of Nancy Goodame, the Space Ranger. It's a story that has 56 chapters, so nearly halfway in, and it's a busy chapter, lots of things going on, but you know, such is the way in outer space. So anyway, a hen, it's a door, it's a tree, and away we go. Hey lads, you reckon they'll be doing spaghetti bolognese for the lunch again? European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy McGinley, the Jupiterian leader of the Hobbler-Graniker Defence League, also known as Gumgulliger Unterwackle or Bip to his friends, a Martian waitress slash astronaut named Martina Ruddlesplitch, and a Martian sheriff listened to the question. And all but Nancy failed to understand the question. Nancy, Martina, Bip and the sheriff were being asked the question by a thin middle-aged humanoid male wearing boots, trousers, a sleeveless t-shirt and sporting spiky brown hair and a scraggly blonde beard and carrying an axe. Roughly 5 minutes had passed since the end of the last chapter. Those minutes were mostly passed in silence while Nancy, Martina, Bip and the sheriff wondered about their rapid and unexpected circumstance, which was inside a large clay tunnel. The sheriff had said, Martina had said, "It smells bad in here." And Nancy had said, "Which way is the air flowing? We should head towards it." And Bip had scratched his armpit. Twice. Then the thin man had appeared and walked up the large clay tunnel as far as Nancy, Martina, Bip and the sheriff to ask what they thought about lunch. Replied Nancy, "We've no idea what's for lunch. We've only just arrived." "Well then you should know the food is great here. We had scrambled eggs and toast for breakfast. That's the thing about excavating the labyrinth of Chuntigal. It's infinite. So the head noobs always make sure the grub is tasty. So us lower order noobs don't get disheartened with all the endless digging. My name's Noob 839781, by the way."
"What is spaghetti bolognese?"
asked the sheriff. "It's ground up animal carcass cooked with vegetables. Sorry, I mean edible vegetation. At least that's what it is on Earth. I don't know what it is in the labyrinth of Chuntigal."
"Well then, Nancy, maybe you let the skinny lad answer the question so. What is spaghetti bolognese, Noob 837, whatever your name is?"
"Lunch, at least I hope it is. Are you all not heading for the canteen for a break?"
"No," interrupted Bip. "We're heading for Hobbler-Graniker. Do you know which direction is? I'm guessing upwards."
"Hobbler-Graniker? Never heard of it. And a noob must never dig up."
"All right then, it's Sosman City. But just so you know, we all think Sosman Borkstapel is a bollocks."
"I never heard of him either. And remember, a noob must never dig up."
Bip, it might be no harm for us to have something to eat, you know," noted Martina. "We missed breakfast. And I wouldn't mind seeing if spaghetti bolognese is something I could serve in my canteen back on Mars."
Bip made to say something, paused, lifted his Defence League axe, showed the flat side of the head to the stranger, swung it wildly in the air before flinging it and burying the blade deep into the clay wall.
"Wow," said Noob 839781. "That is incredible axemanship," Noob 839781 agreed with himself. "Pure, unadulterated skill," he agreed for a third time.
"Could such expertness be used on a pickaxe?"
he wondered aloud. Bip smiled proudly and looked to Martina, Nancy and the sheriff, all three of whom failed to notice or acknowledge his achievement.
"That is what Sosman Borkstapel has coming for him," Bip announced, before nodding sternly at Noob 839781 to show that he was serious about the statement.
"Wow,"
said Noob 839781. Bip nodded again.
Are we going for food or not?"
snapped Martina.
"Right, okay, Martina," replied Bip. "I suppose we could do that. Even skilled axe murderers need fuel. And I don't mind passing on that skill to willing students, ones who appreciate my skill, unlike Morkadora Yumlan and Mac de Flart. May they rest in pieces in Breezy McGaspin's muffledump chest. In fact, it'll be nice to show the finer points of axe work to willing students. But after that, I'm heading off to kill Sosman."
Bip nodded at the sleeveless t-shirt wearing stranger and said, "Right so, Noob, 873...
Where's this canteen?"
Noob 839781 walked over to the axe Bip had flung into the clay wall, pressed on the handle and leaned in to inspect where the head of the axe had gone into the clay wall.
839781, and that axe work was incredible," he said again. "Could you do that with a pickaxe?"
Bip nodded and smiled.
"That's remarkable," repeated Noob 839781. "I need to report this to a superior noob, and you're new too. The superior noob will be chuffed to learn what she can do with an axe. Your skills will greatly help our work."
What's all this about a superior noob?"
asked the sheriff.
"Noobs are classified according to their level of importance. So, unimportant, fairly important, very important, and most important. Most important are the most rare.
There are only 40,000 most important noobs working in the labyrinth of Chunktagul. Or so I've been told. I'm not important enough to know for sure. Are you going on break? If you are, you should follow me now. We'll be starting work again shortly.
Martina looked at Bip, Nancy and the sheriff.
I think we should follow noob 8397.
81, added the stranger.
We should follow noob 839781. Plus, I really want to find out what spaghetti bolognese is. Or at least whatever the labyrinth of Chunticle's version of spaghetti bolognese is. And if it's good, I might introduce it on Mars.
Now, Martina, you are only half right,
noted the sheriff.
We both know that no matter how good it may taste here, you are sure to find a way of making a putrid mess of it. But we should visit the canteen so this inferior noob can introduce me to one of the most important noobs.
The trip to the canteen involved a short walk further along the tunnel and a right turn through a large gap in the wall of the labyrinth into a large clear room. The short walk passed without incident. Nancy walked in silence, partly because she was unsure how herself, Bip, Martina and the sheriff were going to get back onto the surface of Jupiter, but mostly because she was hungry. The sheriff and Martina were also silent. Well, with the exception of the sheriff uttering the words, Bip had asked, what kind of a name is Noob 839781? And Noob 839781 had answered, I am the 839,781st Noob. It is a very fitting name. Why, what are your names?
I'm Bip. Sorry, Gumgulliger Unterwaggle.
And Martina, Nancy and the sheriff.
Is everyone here called Noob and then a number after?
Of course. Except the most important noobs. They have a dash before their numbers. But everyone else has just numbers.
Said the sheriff. Now, if you have never been cast into the labyrinth of Chunticle by an angry Spontaliger exporter, then you probably won't know that there is always a canteen nearby. This is because the most important noobs realised that it was tough to motivate the lesser noobs to dig without incentives. So they decided to make sure everyone was well fed. The canteens are large and airy and are almost always decorated with cream-coloured egg chairs, brown floral wallpaper and floor-to-ceiling lava lamps. They're almost always downwind of the prevailing airflow, which is usually on your left, depending on which way you're facing, and each canteen has a large coffee machine, plus several toasters next to constantly refilled baskets of bread. Meals are four times a day, three large feeds followed by a small pre-bedtime snack. They used to be announced by a labyrinth-wide klaxon, but the superior noobs came to realise that mealtimes, being the most important part of the day in the mind of a noob, were never forgotten, and the practice of formally announcing them was abandoned. Each canteen caters for roughly 100 noobs, but there is always space for more, which is why Bip, Martina, Nancy and the sheriff found themselves being handed a bowl of yellow sludge as soon as they walked into the large wallpapered cavern that served as canteen RB1483.
This is chaos, said Martina.
It wasn't, but it was messy. What she was talking about was a large room about the size of a quarter of a football pitch and 12 metres high, which a large-ish square entrance on the side of the clay tunnel Bip, Martina, Nancy and the sheriff had found themselves in at the end of chapter 24, and 14 long tables surrounded by egg chairs, and between 6 and 8 dirty humanoids sitting and eating in the egg chairs surrounding the 14 tables. A long counter with several barrel-sized containers behind it and 3 humanoids ladling yellow sludge from the barrel-sized containers into the bowls and placing them on the counter. 2 humanoids handing out the bowls, one of whom had just handed Bip, Martina, Nancy and the sheriff their own bowls of sludge. Handing out the bowls seemed to be a full-time job, as in the brief length of time it took for Bip, Martina, Nancy and the sheriff to get handed their bowls, and for Martina to say, this is chaos, several of the humanoids that had been eating at the 14 long tables had finished scooping the yellow sludge from the bowls to their mouths, had stood up and were now at the counter looking for more.
This is all wrong, continued Martina. Have they never heard of buckets in this place? She said.
She said it in a loud voice and in a tone that was slightly too shrill for it to have been meant for just Bip, Nancy or the sheriff to hear. In a tone that called out for the attention of anyone who might have been wanting to answer.
Buckets? Said one of the 2 humanoids who had just handed the bowls of sludge to Bip, Martina, Nancy and the sheriff.
We've plenty of buckets. Everybody knows about them. Why do you ask, noob?
I'm asking because the smart thing to do would be to serve breakfast from buckets to save on washing all these bowls. Not to mention the unnecessary shuffling about of patrons.
There are no patrons here. Only noobs.
But what you say is sensible. Very sensible. And it was most Rontophalian of you to have offered the advice, noob.
If it's sensible, you should do it. Here, where are those buckets? Let me show you.
Gladly, noob.
Noob.
Martina placed her uneaten bowl of sludge onto the counter and said,
lead the way so. The sooner we get some buckets, the sooner this place starts running with a bit more order. And hurry up. The lunchtime rush won't be long coming around.
The humanoid who had handed Bip, Martina, Nancy and the sheriff their bowls led Martina around the back of the counter and to a low storage shelf cut into the wall where a series of buckets were neatly stacked.
This is where the buckets are stored, noob.
Right, said Martina. Place them all out on the counter and start filling them with food. This should quarter the number of bowls being passed around the place and put a bit of shape on things.
Okay, noob. Noob.
Are you not going to tell me your number?
You mean my name? Asked Martina. She had bent over and was pulling the stacked buckets out from where they were stored.
Yes, the number of your name.
I don't have one. Hurry up with the buckets. The noob nodded, took some of the buckets Martina had taken from storage and began placing the buckets on the counter. Martina stood up, walked to the counter and began ladling the sludge from the barrels into the buckets. This caused the three noobs that had been working behind the counter and the one remaining bowl of yellow sludge dispensing noob that had been working in front of the counter to stop and stare, which in turn caused Martina to say,
"Don't just stand there gawping, get filling."
And with that, canteen RB1483 in the labyrinth of Chuntical advanced an entirely new way of dispensing breakfast to hungry, tunnel-digging noobs. Bip, Nancy and the sheriff watched as Martina worked. Noob 839781 nodded appreciatively.
"Remarkable. Goes to show what a fresh body can add to a place," he said.
He then turned to Bip, Nancy and the sheriff and pointed to the tables.
"We should sit down. You can eat at any table except the first one. This is reserved for the most important noobs."
"Hmm," said the sheriff for the second time that morning. He then placed his bowl of yellow sludge on the first table, fumbled for his crossbow, picked a bolt from his side, aligned it over the barrel, locked the string and pointed the barrel towards the head of the nearest humanoid and fired.
Spludge! Dunk!
The humanoid fell sideways from the egg chair he was sitting on and collapsed motionless on the floor with one third of a crossbow bolt protruding from his left eye socket.
"I am in charge of this place now," the sheriff announced loudly. "And your collective will is my command," he added.
He had the attention of almost every other creature in the canteen, everyone except Martina, who only looked over briefly, rolled her eyes, and continued with her self-imposed task of ladling yellow sludge into buckets. The brief silence that followed was followed by Noob 839781 asking,
"And, what do you want us to do?"
"I don't know yet," said the sheriff, "but I'll let you know when I do. In the meantime, keep eating. Oh wait, two of you go and bring this body off to wherever you think the best place to dump it is."
The two noobs that had been seated next to the now horizontal and deceased former most important noob stood up, walked to the body, grabbed it by the arms and legs and silently carried it out of the canteen.
"Good,"
noted the sheriff.
"Well, we're all very good at digging if you want us to keep doing that," suggested Noob 839781.
"Aren't we?"
he added loudly. The 100 or so humanoids in the room all nodded and uttered varying degrees of "aye" and
"we are."
Noob 839781 pointed at Bip and said,
"And if this new noob can teach us some of his skills, we'll be even better at digging."
Nobody else in the room responded, mostly because they hadn't a clue what skills Noob 839781 was talking about. Now, it is worth noting that the Labyrinth of Chuntical is a remarkable thing. It is, or was, very well described in the Book of Bongerlon, which told of a mysterious punishment dictated by the Goth which required any Jupiterians who fell out of favour with the Bongerlon, known as noobs, to dig a fabulous labyrinth in his memory called the Labyrinth of Chuntical. The first Jupiterians to dig in the name of the Bongerlon were instructed to carve out a large subterranean passage. Over time, this became extremely long and, as more unfortunate Bongerlon insulting, whether deliberate or accidental, Jupiterians were sent to the labyrinth to dig, the infrastructure became more complex, which eventually resulted in a network of torchlit, magic-infused earth burrows undergoing constant expansion. In due course, the Bongerlon left Jupiter, and the only trace of his visit was folk memory, a book describing his escapades on Jupiter and prophecies for its future, and the magic-infused pointless complex of lengthening tunnels and their associated ancillary infrastructure. And so, the tunnels were soon relegated to the folk memory of all but the oldest of Jupiterians. Jupiterians like Breezy McGaspug. Unfortunately for the inhabitants of the labyrinth, the original purpose of the place was concealed in a metaphor within a passage of the Book of Bongerlon, the last copy of which was sopping wet and drifting on top of the Jupiterian Sea of Uncertainty, thanks to Chapter 15's hasty abandonment of the Book of Bongerlon by the now deceased wizard Oberon. In any case, as far as the inhabitants of the Labyrinth of Chuntical were concerned, rule by a crossbow-wielding autocrat was just as pointless as their current endless digging existence, and none of them had any real objection to his declaration of ascendance.
"Now," said the sheriff, "there will be no more digging."
He looked around the room and paused in silence to make sure the assembled 100 or so noobs had to wait for him to speak again. This was something he'd been trained to do in the Martian Law Enforcement Academy. It was intended to assert his dominance and ensure they were all listening when he spoke, but it was unnecessary. Nobody in the labyrinth of Chuntigal had anything better to be at.
I want to create an army. From now on, your pickaxe will be your weapons, Bip. I want you to train them up. Noob, 8-7, 3-4, 8-7,
The sheriff fell briefly silent.
Right. From now on, your names are whatever I call ye. So, you, the lad who showed us here, I want you to get this lot sorted into groups for Bip to train up. A leader like me is useless without an army.
The 100 or so pairs of eyes in the canteen looked to Bip. He smiled with pride. Decades of isolation in the forest of Proverbs meant he was more than happy with the attention.
Okay, folks, he said. We'll get started soon. Noob 873981. Sorry, Sheriff, I mean, the lad who showed us here.
We'll get you all organised, Bip added loudly.
After the breakfast, of course. One of the keys to quality axemanship is a full stomach.
100 or so heads nodded in acknowledgement, and Bip smiled again. The sheriff smiled too. This was his first army. Although it was not much to look at, which, to be fair, if anyone did look, all they'd have seen was a collection of filthy, emaciated male and female Jupiterians in dirty boots, trousers, and assorted ragged t-shirts and tops, it brought the sheriff no small amount of pride. Of the four new arrivals in the labyrinth of Chuntigal that day, only Nancy had in mind to escape.
We need to get out of here, she said to Martina.
Sorry, Nancy, I'd love to, but the lunchtime rush will be coming up soon, and we haven't even finished the breakfast.
Bip?
She asked. You go ahead, Nancy. I'll catch up later. I just want to teach these folk a thing or two about Jupiterian axemanship.
Sheriff, we need to leave. We don't have time for all this.
Nonsense, Nancy. You, of all people, should know that in the canteen of moobs within the labyrinth of Chuntigal, the crossbow-wielding Martian sheriff is king.
What?
Oh, sorry, I forgot. You have a crossbow too,
noted the sheriff. He said for the third time of the morning.
You could be my queen, and together we will rule this place.
I thought you wanted to kill this Osmond Barkstubble and rescue Butterdaw and Flirt. Isn't that why yourself and Martina came to Jupiter in the first place?
That's only really half true, Nancy, interrupted Martina. I just wanted to see if Martian space travel was possible, which it is. So that's done, and I've just realised how much I miss working in my canteen back on Mars. And the work here isn't a million miles away from what I used to be at.
Well, it is, but it's like what I used to be at.
And by the look of things, they need me here.
Yes, indeed. Well said, Martina, added the sheriff. Butterdaw and Flirt are expendable. These people need me to rule them and tell them what to do.
Nancy took a long, slow look at Martina, the sheriff, and Bip.
Are ye three telling me you want to stay here in this manky clay labyrinth? What about you, Bip? Surely you're not going to give up on the Hobble Granigal Defence League?
Oh, not giving up, Nancy, just postponing it. A change is as good as a rest, and sure these tunnel-digging minions might even teach me a thing or two about murder.
And that was it for the breakfast of the fourth day of the first human expedition to another planet. European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy Gooday McGinley, a megalomaniac Martian sheriff, the flattered head of the Hobble Granigal Defence League, a busy Martian waitress slash astronaut called Martina Ruddlesplitch, one dead subterranean tunnel digging Jupiterian, European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow on top of a Spontaliger transportation robot somewhere on the Sea of Uncertainty, one missing European Space Agency spacecraft and its crew of three, one kidnapped European Space Agency mission commander named Jerry Staunton, two crossbows, 87 bowls of yellow sludge, 16 buckets of the same yellow sludge, the prophecy of Bongerlon, and the recipe for Jupiterian spaghetti bolognese.
Right, and if you have listened to that, fair play. Oh, well, you have my respect, but it's going to keep going too. So chapter 26, either next week or the week after. And thanks for listening if you have.